Welcome to Real Life Mentoring, where we explore real life issues to help you make an authentic difference in the world.
Hi, it's Chris and Christina, and today we're going to be talking about the power of a conversation. So we don't have to tell you, the listener, but words are powerful. If you've been on the receiving end of good words or bad words, they've had an effect on you. But how many times during your lifetime has a conversation changed your life? Chris, how many times in your lifetime?
I don't have any idea.
Uh-huh.
But I want to process and take some time. Obviously, later in this podcast episode topic reminds me to do that.
Yeah.
What conversations were so critical for my life? And at the time, I don't know that we realize how critical, how important a conversation
until
is
back, yeah.
until you look back.
Mm-hmm.
But we have some examples that we thought about ahead of time. But later, I truly want to think about, wait a minute, what conversations do I remember that were really important and powerful to me?
Yeah, so if you're listening right now, take the time after this podcast or push pause. That's the beauty of listening to it. And think, wow, where was I? In what stage of my life was I? What happened? What were the circumstances where I remember a specific conversation changed my life? We're going to give a few examples. I remember quite vividly we were dating, and there we knew we were getting more and more serious. We were dating intentionally. I didn't want to date anybody I could not see a future with. We were right there on that cusp of knowing, okay. And we had thrown out marriage. We kind of talked about it. And I remember one particular conversation, you said something about if we get married.
You remember that?
Oh, totally.
If we get married.
Yeah. And I had the boldness to say, okay, you said if. Do you mean if we get married, or do you mean when we get married?
And I'm sure my heart was pounding because I was so nervous.
Pause. And then I hear you, we were on the phone, and I hear you say, no, when. I'm saying when we get married. Boy, that was a conversation that changed our life, because then we started talking about.
Do you remember what happened inside your head, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I probably wanted to jump up and down and nervous and scared and excited all at the same time. Yeah. But that was certainly an example of a conversation that changed my life. Years ago, probably what year was it, Chris?
2007, actually.
We had been hosting some international students. We were so concerned about their future and what happens to them. Who's going to care for them? Who's going to...
They became like sons to us.
Right. And so they happened to live in Austria, and we contacted a mission agency that there was a couple living in Austria, and we reached out to them and called them. And I remember him posing the question to us. We called with the intent of, hey, can you look after these students?
Yeah, get to know them.
Right. And his question to us was, well, you guys are so passionate. Why don't you come to Austria on a vision trip? Would God have you here? That was a conversation that changed our lives.
It was powerful. I mean, I remember it. How did it feel? I knew it was significant, but I had no idea just how significant it would be.
Yeah.
Because the guys, fast forward, we spent 9 years there.
Yeah.
In that country, mm-hmm. and it became home for us and our girls. So,
but had he maybe not posed that question, that then started a conversation about us going over there, and then going over there turned to, oh my word, we're supposed to live here. That, who knows? Would that have happened? Yeah. Another example that really stands out in my mom died when I was 27 years old. She spent the last 10 years of her life very, very ill. But I remember it was actually the night before she passed. We didn't know that she was going to pass on a Monday, but that Sunday evening, Addison was a little baby. I couldn't sleep.
Our oldest daughter was a baby.
I couldn't sleep. I was in the living room. And at the time, she was in the ICU. She didn't have a phone in her room. And I called. I just felt so impressed from the Holy Spirit. Like, I just need my mom to know that I love her. The relationship had been strained. And anyway, I just felt so compelled that I want to call my mom and tell her that I love her. I remember calling the nurse and asking the nurse if I could speak to my mom. Somehow, she got my mom on the phone. if she carried a phone in there. I don't know the details, but I remember the conversation. I just remember telling my mom, "Mom, I want you to know that I love you." And she said, "Well, honey, I love you too." And I said, no, Mom. I want you to know how I really feel about you." And I was very, very expressive. And I remember my mom being silent and then having a lot of emotion in her voice saying, "Oh, honey, you don't know how much I love you." And that was the last conversation I ever had with my mom. That conversation changed my life. It stands out as significant.
The power of a conversation, what it reminds me to think. Yeah, to think about it. I want to be deliberate in my conversations today.
I want to be deliberate in my endings, my conversations, either with a phone, if somebody that I talk to all the time. You just never know, right?
Oh, I'll have another chance to finish this conversation and really tell them. Not necessarily as it proved to be with your mom.
Especially those who we live life with, spouses, children, adult children live at home, people we're in constant contact with. Let this serve as a reminder to be deliberate with our conversation. Well, do you have another example?
It just came to me. It happened yesterday, and this is, June of 2024, just give you a point of reference. I had a meeting with a friend, and it was supposed to be about business. But when he arrived, we talked about just personal things, caught up, and before I realized it, we were in the depths of a real powerful conversation that he needed to have. I don't know that he realized he needed to have that. I didn't expect that to happen. I thought we were going to talk about an aspect of business. And as we're talking about it, and he shared so many important personal things, and he began to weep. And I thought, what a privilege I've been given right now, an unexpected powerful conversation. I didn't know I was going to have that day.
Well, are all conversations powerful? Are there just certain conversations that are powerful? And I think that when conversation is deliberate and intentional, every time it can be powerful. I think back to when our girls were little, and our middle daughter at the time could not have been more than 4 or 5 years old. And when we would go visit their grandmother, who lived about 2 hours away from us, they would hear me say, "Oh, I can't wait to go see Meemaw." They called their grandmother Meemaw. "I can't wait to go see Meemaw," where my favorite part is waking up and having coffee and conversation. And I remember that sweet little middle daughter of ours, Parker, would say, "Meemaw, I want to have some coffee and conversation." She didn't know what that meant, but what she knew is that was a time where it was intentional. We lingered at that table. We drank our coffee. We talked about all kinds of things. And now that she's in heaven, she's gone. And
not our daughter, but my mother, Meemaw, the grandmother.
Yeah. 20 years have now gone by. Those were powerful times around that table because real conversation was happening.
But we didn't. Did you realize that was powerful at the time?
I think I did.
Or that you enjoyed it?
Oh, I enjoyed it. I mean, it was the glue that connected me to her.
I knew it was good. I really enjoyed it. I don't know, this is for me personally, I don't know that I saw it as that critical, that important, powerful conversation that it has proven to be now that it's in our past.
It's more sentimental to me, but I knew at the time there was something uniquely wonderful about those conversations. It was time where I was a young mom who I could talk about my struggles as a young mom, or I could just get caught up on things because I was at a season of life where I had three little people who, "Mom, tell us about how your day is." But she listened and would offer advice, and it was powerful.
Well, so, let me interject this because our podcast is based on mentoring. I want to just encourage you as a listener, if you're a mentor or you're wanting to be a mentor, you want to be deliberate about knowing I'm going to have a powerful, important conversation with this person I'm mentoring today.
Right.
We're going to talk about this topic, and you know it's going to be important and powerful. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like a Christmas gift. There are some conversations you will have like I had yesterday.
Right.
Not expected at all. It's like I unwrapped this incredible gift of a powerful conversation that was handed to me. So it's both. It's planning those. And then being surprised by those.
And recognizing, oh, okay, this is going to be a powerful conversation. I could argue the point that I think any real conversation is powerful. To what degree, you know, but I just think the importance. So what we're going to do is I came across an article from Psychology Today. The title is, Do You Have Real Conversations? It's by Mel Schwartz, who's a licensed counselor. He makes some really unique points that we're going to talk about. So I want to read some excerpts from his article, and we're just going to jump in with conversation. But he writes, for the most part, we rarely engage in genuine conversations with one another. We rely upon formatted questions and answers that we exchange with each other, our words resembling ping pong balls being sent to and fro. We aren't sharing our true self, only the part that we want seen and which is the safe part. Do you agree with that, Chris?
I do, and I don't have a definition of this. Conversations, what we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
Is a dialogue different?
No.
It's not?
No. It's that familiar dialogue. How are you? Fine. How are you?
Well, that's what I mean.
That ping pong ball is a dialogue.
Yeah, okay, but is a conversation different than a dialogue?
I think you're splitting hairs. The point is, most of us don't let that guard down. And it depends on the context, right? When I'm talking to the Walmart clerk, hi, how's your day going? Oh, not too bad. Oh, good, good. That is just common courtesy, social interactions. But the point is, if that's all the kind of conversation I ever have, I'm not letting my guard down. I'm not giving opportunity for someone else to let their guard down. Those are not going to be powerful conversations.
I guess where I was going, it said the statement was from this article, formatted questions and answers that are exchanged.
Right.
That has a feeling for me. I guess, feeling may not matter here. Like you have Congress speaking to someone who's almost on trial. Mm-hmm. They're holding them accountable. They're asking them formatted questions, mm-hmm. and the person who's being questioned is giving probably very succinct answers.
Sure.
That doesn't feel like a conversation. It seems like a business that
right.
way.
Mm-hmm.
But that happens in families. That happens in, I would say, friendships.
It happens in churches all the time.
It happens in
churches.
Every
Sunday, how are you? How was your week? Good. How about you? It's the same thing,
so,
right?
Yeah. So we're challenging you guys as listeners. And if you're a mentor, you want to be a mentor, we want to help you learn how to have deliberate, powerful conversations with people that matter and make a difference for them.
Well, the point of the article is to say that you got to let your guard down. So he makes this comment as well. In order to have authentic conversations, we must let our guard down. The barrier that we build to protect how we want to be seen precludes authentic conversation. And I think that's true. We put barriers up all the time that we want to be seen maybe a certain way. We don't want to go into detail. I've done this before and people have been shocked or taken off guard. How are you? And if I respond by, you know, it's been a tough week, I've let my guard down automatically. So when we don't let our guard down, then we keep that surface non-conversation happening.
So I lead a men's group once a week, and I've discovered, and I love these guys,
mm-hmm.
and they care for me as well. But guys know this. You're listening. You're a man. You know this. Left to ourselves, you come together as men. We will keep the conversation as a very surface level.
Mm.
We'll use humor, sports, hobbies, whatever, work, and we leave it at that.
Yeah.
And so what I've learned, and I'm passionate about this, I'm okay to be the catalyst to change the direction of that meeting,
it
that conversation.
It just takes one.
It just takes one.
Yeah.
And I find these guys, not just the group that I'm in, other gatherings I've been in with men, it does change the atmosphere. And mm-hmm. they go, wow, okay, then I see what you're doing here. I want to go there with you.
Right. Right. And what we're not saying is that every encounter with somebody should be this deep, powerful conversation. We'd probably be flat worn out by the end of the day if that were true. There are times and places for that ping pong ball, you know, when I'm in the line at Walmart or maybe at church. Sometimes I can't go into great depth. I was recently at a wedding, and those sort of environments stress me out. And I was telling my good friend that I was there with, we were sitting down and we were catching up. We hadn't seen each other. And I said, I got to be honest, these kinds of settings make me a nervous wreck. She said, why? I said, well, here's the deal. there's so many people that I haven't seen that I want to connect. But if I would take the time to connect with everybody, I'd be here all night. So what I'm forced to do
and
is...
And you would miss the point of actually being there
exactly.
celebrating the couple.
Right. I'd be in, you know, one major conversation with somebody. And then, so I said, what I have to resign myself is to have those surface, hi, it is so good to see you conversations with a lot of different people and forego the one person I want to connect with or, you know, those deeper conversations. And she just laughed. She goes, I find myself in the same setting. Those settings are hard.
Maybe a lot of people do.
Yeah.
I've heard from some people we know, some friends, and it makes them nervous as well.
Yeah. So what I do, you know, to combat that is I try to flit around, hello, 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 and then I sit to be quiet because it stresses me out.
Well, try this next time. You're at a wedding and you're at the reception and you haven't seen this person in a while. Say, hey, what was your recent greatest sin that you committed? You want to throw somebody off?
Right.
But, you know, we've also done that as a married couple at home.
Yeah.
I may have something I really want and need to share with you, but you've had a really long, difficult day,
right?
Or your mind's just not there, and it's not that you don't want to have a real conversation with me,
right?
That's meaningful and powerful, but you go, honey, I cannot handle it right now.
Yeah.
And hopefully I can go, okay, but later we can do this.
Right.
And you, I think we experience, if you have teenagers, you probably have experienced this, they want to come in.
If you have high verbal processes.
Yes, late at night, and you're ready for bed, and they want to just tell you about their day, and they're passionate, and you're going, okay, I can't have the conversation right now, and they may feel hurt by that or misunderstood. Wait a minute. I do want to have this conversation with you. It's a powerful conversation.
Right.
But I just can't do it right now.
Right.
So that's important, too.
Yeah, what I'm saying is exercise caution. We're not saying that every single conversation that you have can be this powerful, in-depth thing. However, when those times arise, boy, being present, letting your guard down to engage. Another part of the article says that the proverbial, how are you, necessitates the automatic good. And you? But what he's saying is that really enables us to have no conversation. They're just exchanges, the routine, the robotic.
There, it says here they're transactions.
Yeah, yeah.
And we do have to have some of that in
right.
life.
Right, there is time and place.
But I do not want the meaningful conversations, or excuse me, the relationships that are most meaningful in my life to be transactional.
Right. If you came home and asked me, honey, how was your day? Good, and you? Great. And that's all that ever happened? Yeah. It's not going to bode well.
There's an old movie that was remade many years ago as well called The Stepford Wives.
Mm.
And it was basically people were robots, and that's what they would do. Honey, how are you? I'm good, and you?
Mm.
It's a beautiful day. All is good. And there was dialogue, I would call it, or just some words being passed. There weren't real conversations because you had a human being and you had a robot. Just a side note, we're not robots.
Yeah.
People desire and deserve to have real conversations.
Especially those that are in our inner circles. When our girls come home and our son-in-law and now our sweet grandbaby, I want to be able to carve out time where I can ask each one of them, look them in the face and say, okay, how are things really? And we talk on a normal basis, so I generally know that. But if I don't know, I want to be intentional about creating space and time to have a powerful conversation if it needs to happen. A couple more things he mentions in that article. He says, to enter into authentic conversation, the realm of participatory relationship, I love that, it requires that I drop my defenses and release my armor. When I embrace my vulnerability and allow the conversation to enter into the realm of uncertainty, the possibilities of genuine engagement are summoned. I just thought of the perfect example for this.
Which is?
Which is a couple of years ago, I was at church on a Sunday morning and two young women that I did not know well at the time, I was walking by them and they smiled and we did the obligatory, hello, how are you? Good, and you? And then we did that, and I heard one of them say, so, let me go back to tell you why this week was so awful. And I circled back around, and I said, did you have a bad week this week? She looked at me and she goes, honestly, I did. I said, I did too. Do you guys want to talk about it? The next week, that was on a Sunday, that Tuesday, both of them ended up on my couch and I wanted to hear their stories. And they were on my couch for about 3.5 hours. Mm. And now I know one is one of my closest friends. It opened up this realm of possibility within these two friendships, these two young women's lives. It was incredible. Will that happen every time? No, but who knows? It could, right? I dared one of them drop their defenses with the other. I overheard. I dared to engage, and boom, these beautiful relationships emerged. Yeah, it's incredible. Mm. Okay, he makes this statement. When the conversation enters into the unknown territory, which sounds like that happened to you, Chris, yesterday with the business meeting, don't pull back into the retreat of the familiar. Ask a new question, one which you've maybe never considered, and be present for the response. It sounds like that's what happened with your business meeting.
Well, keep in mind, it was a friend, but we were going to meet to talk business.
Yeah.
So I was surprised by that. But when I saw it going into a very personal direction, I knew, don't pull back at all. And yeah. I wouldn't pull back anyway. But I understand those of you who have not mentored someone yet, or you just don't have the experience, uncomfortable conversations, topics can make us want to pull back.
Right.
And especially with men, if there is emotion involved, that can cause someone to pull back. What if you just take a deep breath and go, let that person continue to talk? I don't have to prove anything. I don't have to even have an answer. Mm-hmm. Let me just listen right now. And that's what I did.
Yeah.
And then as we continued to talk, had the good conversation, I had thoughts and ideas for him, which I know really encouraged him.
I think this is especially true, again, with our inner circle people or around family, when he says they're asking you question, one that you've never considered. We're getting ready to make a family trip. And I've already been thinking about, wow, I know so much about the people we're going to, our family members. But what if I've never maybe asked some questions about childhood? Or when you're on the job and this happens, what's your go-to? What do you think of first? I've already been entertaining some thoughts that I've, or questions that I've never considered before. It's uncharted territory. Why not, right? With those people that are our inner circle or family that we know well, why not ask those
questions?
You're
talking about our family in Missouri.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. So it's my sister and our brother-in-law.
Well, thanks for now exposing. I was trying to keep it under wraps.
This will be posted long after we've had this vacation time with them. But she's my sister, and guess what? I bet I can find out some new things about her. She's going to retire. That's why we're going.
Right.
And so what a great question to ask to have a powerful conversation. How are you feeling today? What do you think about next week? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
What do you hope for the future?
I was just going to say, sometimes if we're unfamiliar about how to start or go into uncharted territory, natural transitions are incredible opportunities for new conversations. Everybody makes fun of you in a good-hearted way because at birthday time.
Wow. Well, I want you to clarify. Everyone makes
fun. Our family gives you a hard time, okay, but we all love it. Because when it's whomever's birthday it is, you will always get the ball rolling by saying, okay, it's Christina's birthday. Let's share some memories.
Let's go around the table and share some memories of Christina.
Right. And you keep that ball. You're not going to let anybody not share a memory. You keep that ball. But what it's doing is, for some, there's some uncharted territory about, oh, well, I remember when mom did this. Or usually it's hysterical things, funny things. We spent a lot of time laughing. Sometimes there's been some really powerful things that have been like, oh, wow, I didn't know. It's just sweet. So transitions, this retirement, people's birthday, holidays, those are great times to just ask a question maybe you've never asked before.
Yeah. Powerful conversations.
Yeah.
They deepen and develop a relationship like nothing else to me.
And again, I'll link the name and of the article. One of the things he calls it is when we ask questions, when we dare to engage, we're creating sacred space. And I think whether we were sitting at the coffee or sitting at the table having coffee and conversation, or sitting around a table having birthday memories, what we're actually doing is creating some sacred space.
One of the early statements that we shared, and we still use it with Fahrenheit Mentoring, is when you ask real questions, the answers may change your life.
That's great.
What else? Is that it?
I think that's it. So the challenge would be, are you having powerful conversations? At the top of the show, we said, would you consider just thinking about the conversations in the course of your life that have been really powerful? Maybe they've been life-altering. Maybe they've changed courses of direction. And what about you? Are you daring to ask new questions in new seasons of those around you? So, as always, we are so thankful that you listened today. The power of a conversation. If you liked what you listened to, like, subscribe, share it. And as always, thank you for listening to Real Life Mentoring Podcast.